On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for On The Pace.
Sprinter down the outside, finishing brilliantly. Look at Sprinter, he's got the right name.
But he says, ta-da on Bowtide. Some Bowtide brilliance here today. He'll go back-to-back, all right. He's making a mess of them.
Bringing you all the latest harness racing happenings from around New South Wales and across the country.
And the 28 to 11 morning. Hazy, how are you, Greg?
Really well, Cozzy. How are you?
Good. Have you recovered from a huge day, Melton Sunday?
Only just. It was a fantastic day. 10 races at Tabcorp Park, Melton. A number of Group 1s, 8 in fact. And while the Kiwis dominated the early part of the program, and that continued their dominance from 12 months ago, it was really a case of the Aussies getting their own back late in the day. And that was headed up by Emma Stewart, who just had a sensational afternoon. She just goes from strength to strength, Emma Stewart, and again has been able to bring up, you know, record numbers again this season. Cozzy,
been an amazing effort, has it? Consistency.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, you go back to her 2010-2011 season, she was training 76 winners. Mm. The next season it was 104, then 111, then 130, then 170. You can see the progression, and she's now up to 196. So she's had her career best season. She's got depth right throughout her ranks. She's obviously got some very good talented babies that we saw perform so well on Sunday, but she's also got Guaranteed. She's also got Philadelphia Man. She's also got Restrepo. So I think she is clearly the strongest stable in Australia at the moment.
I think she managed to put a smile on a big bloke who's probably not far from me at the moment too.
Yes, I think you're right. Andrew Vensley was one very happy man after the performance of our little general on Sunday afternoon. And I know that he was very nervous before the race. He wasn't saying much, but he was very excited after it.
I knew he was jumping up and down because I heard there was a tsunami in Fiji.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And we're lucky enough to have Emma Stewart online, who's joining us this morning. Emma, congratulations on what was a brilliant Sunday for your stable.
Thank you very much.
Going into the day, look, you had a number of short price favourites going into the meeting, so it's probably expected you win a couple, but until the races are run, you're never too sure, are you? You must have been happy with how it all panned out.
Yeah, we were thrilled to get four winners on the day because you always go into these days hoping everything's right, but they're the hardest races to win on days like Sunday because, you know, it's the best of the best, and, you know, to be able to get a few wins was just terrific.
Rock and Roll Magic, the three-year-old filly. She was super. Heaven's Trend, obviously the short price favourite in the race, but Rock and Roll Magic, she has just been she's tradesman-like, but she's brilliant and deserved that win on Sunday.
Yeah, she did deserve it. She's a little ripper. There's nothing fancy about her. She's tiny. She's not the best-looking horse you've ever seen, but she goes out and she gets the job done, and she always tries her hardest. So for her to win a race like that was just terrific.
Does she now go for a well-earned break?
Yeah, she'll have a couple of months off. She gets embryo transferred early September, so she'll have a couple of months off and then come back.
What about Heaven's Trend? She finished fourth in the race. She looked to have her chance. What did you make of her run?
Yeah, I don't think she really likes being held up. I think she's more of a free-running sort of horse, so I think her best opportunity would have been to lead, and she can sort of freewheel at her own speed because she's a little bit headstrong. So she probably looked a little bit disappointing on paper, but you know, we're happy enough with her run, and I just think the race sort of wasn't run to suit after she got crossed.
Does she go for a break as well?
Yeah, she'll have a let-up as well, yep.
All right. Any embryo transfer for her?
I don't think so. I'm not sure what Bruce is up to, but the Cameron boys are big believers in the embryo transfers. Rock and Roll Magic's already got a foal on the way, so they're really keen on doing that sort of stuff.
All right. What about our little general that took out the two-year-old Colts and Geldings? He's an absolute little ripper. He's knee-high to a grasshopper, but gee, tries his guts out.
Yeah, he's a little ripper, all right. Everyone loves him, sort of. You have horses that have got race names that don't really suit them, but he suits his name down to the ground. He's tiny, but he gets out there and he thinks he's 17 hands, and, you know, he tries his guts out. And for him to win the Breeders' Crown was just terrific. Everyone was stoked.
Going into 6 months ago, did you think you had a realistic Breeders' Crown proposition on your hands?
Yeah, we've always liked him. It was just sort of hard because I think the Storm Inside is probably a little bit better than him. So, you know, it was probably a blessing for the little general that he was out. So, We've always liked the horse, and we thought his two-year-old season would be his best because he's so small and he's so fast. So, we gave him a realistic chance, and I think he's improved a lot in the last month.
He'll go, I assume, for a break. Do you have any, you'd bring him back and get him ready for all the derbies, I assume?
Yeah, that's his plan, yep.
Okay. Miss Graceland, now, she finished fourth in her final. She had to be driven hard early to find a position, and did that early burn just take a little bit out of her finish?
Yeah, I think so. I think the inexperience probably didn't play into her hands too well because she sort of never ran a race at, you know, high tempo for the whole race. And, you know, her race experience probably let her down a little bit there. So we were happy enough with her run. You know, she did a good job. And I think whatever she does this season, she'll definitely improve on next season. So we definitely have got a big opinion of her, and I think she'll just get better.
I hadn't seen Ideal for Real in the flesh since the Derby, and he just looks an out-and-out superstar of the future. He won the four-year-old Entires and Geldings. You must be really excited by him.
Yeah, we are. Clayton's always had a big opinion of him, and I think he's just got better and better. And we've only lightly raced him and really looked after him. And, you know, the owners have allowed us to spell him when he needs to get spelled. And I think it's just going to be beneficial for him going forward. So I think he's definitely one of our next Grand Circuit contenders. And, you know, he'll probably dip his toes into the Interdon this year and just see how he goes.
Okay, so he's only had the 7 runs this season. So he probably doesn't need a break like the others, does he?
No, I don't think so. He'll sort of tick along here. He likes being around the stables. He's quite a pet. So he'll tick along here, and we'll keep him up until the Interdom comes around.
All right. What about Loveless, the four-year-old mare? Again, she's probably got stable mates that are more highly thought of, but she's just one of those mares. Again, turns up in the races and gets the job done.
Yeah, she is. A lot of Bruce's horses are like that. They're nothing flashy to look at, but they go out and they get the job done, and she's had a terrific season. So, you know, we're probably a little bit disappointed in Blight Me's run, but to have Lovelist win was terrific for her because she's had such a super season. So she may race a couple more times before she goes out, and then she goes out and she gets embryo transferred as well.
Okay. Will she get, you're looking at, you know, race like the Ladyship Mile for her next year?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we'll sort of aim her and Delight Me at races like that, and we've got a couple of other mares that will head towards those races. So, yeah, the better mares races will be targeted by Lovelist.
All right. What about Delight May? She hasn't had, again, a big season. She's only had the 6 starts this season. Do you keep her ticking over, or will she have a break?
No, she'll have a break. She sort of doesn't handle the winter very well. She's not a great eater, and she tends to lose a lot of weight in winter. So she'll go out, she'll have probably a month off and then come back, and she'll definitely target the bigger mares races.
I was just having a look at your number of winners as a stable for the past 6 seasons, and you're very close to 200 for this season, which is clearly a personal best. Is it more horses or is it more quality that is giving you the improvement each and every year?
I think it's more quality. I think we have upped our numbers a little bit, maybe by 10 or so horses, but I definitely think it's the quality of horses. A lot of our horses we buy from the sales, and if we don't buy them, you know, they're homebred by Bruce Cameron and Bruce Edwards and people like that. So I think the quality we've got, you know, reflects in our number of winners.
And when you go to the sales to buy one, is it you and Clayton looking at the horses and picking them on type? Is that how you guys normally work if you're buying one from the sales?
No, Clayton's a sale man. It's his favourite time of year, and he loves it. And I think it's... you know, it's a credit to him this year because he picked out the Storm Inside and the Little General, and they both won the 2 biggest 2-year-old races. So he definitely has an eye for it, and he loves it. So, you know, he's in charge of buying all the horses.
No, that's a fantastic strike rate. And I best, before we let you go, ask about the three big guns. Where are they all at? Obviously, Guaranteed, Restrepo and Philadelphia Man.
Yeah, they all trialled last week and were really happy with their trial. So, they're ticking along, and you know, they'll have another couple of trials, and then they'll jump back into racing. And Philadelphia Man's headed towards New Zealand, and the other two are sort of headed to Perth. So fingers crossed they all hold together.
And Andrew Bensley's asked me to ask about Yankee Rockstar as well.
He was forgot about poor old Yankee.
Yeah.
No, Yankee's terrific. He's going to head to Perth as well. So he's had a couple of little foot issues because it's been quite wet here. So, you know, he's ticking along, and he's not far behind the other one.
All right. Well, congratulations on your big day on Sunday. 4 winners, very close to 200 for the season. We wish you all the best of luck, especially in Perth, because by the sounds of it, a very big team going over there.
Thanks very much.
There she is, Emma Stewart. Cozzy, she's a great trainer. And what about that? Clayton Tonkin, her partner, does all the picking at the sales.
Very good.
Well, if I'm a prospective owner looking to get involved in a horse, there's a bloke that, as she's pointed out, he's gone to the sales last year. He's bought two, and they've won the two biggest two-year-old races in the country. So massive, massive effort.
Pretty fair strike rate.
Oh, for sure and certain. For sure and certain. So, very good job done by Emma Stewart. There was a really good story on a Sunday, a horse by the name of Cruising Around. It took out race number 9 on the program. Our good mate, Cozzy Hutchie, Bill Hutchison, is a part-time owner in this one. He's got a small share in this one. But a really good story because the horse is trained by Michael Hughes. And going into the race, the Kiwi Conan Bridge was the favourite, but Cruising Around was able to prove too strong. And we're lucky enough to have Michael online this morning. Good morning, Michael.
Yeah, good morning, Greg.
Mate, congratulations with the win of Cruising Around. I think that would have been a very rewarding victory for you.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was certainly a great thrill. But like I said, going into the race when Mickey Tarano pulled out the one, it sort of put the pressure on me a little bit because he's always been drawing bad and all that in these bigger races. But we finally got a good draw and it was more or less up to the horse to make sure he did everything right, and which Greg did. He did a fantastic job with him at the start because that's been his main problem lately. And Greg certainly did a good job and made use of the draw.
Going into the race, obviously from barrier one, you said, you know, you're expecting something. Did you think that he deserved one of these super victories? Obviously, he won the Vic Bred, but did you think, well, we'd like to pick up a Breeders' Crown with him as well?
Yeah, certainly. He certainly, you know, deserved a race like that. And, I mean, there's such a good bunch of three-year-olds around at the moment, especially like him and Sunderland's Courage have been going, you know, neck and neck since they've started. And, I mean, going into that race Sunday, there's certainly not going to be any excuses from the barrier, barring any accidents. So, and, yeah, I thought he made a bit of a statement on Sunday night.
Yeah, I agree. He's now won the Breeders' Crown. He also won the Vic Bred. He also won the home field. So it's been a pretty good season for the three-year-old.
Yeah, it certainly has. It started off in good style, like a Bendigo, and he won 5 straights. And then, like I said, in the Derby at Maryborough, unfortunately, he locked wheels with Sunderland's Courage and through no fault of their own. And then, like, he went very good at Maryborough, but for some reason, he just can't sort of trot that well around Maryborough. And, like, he's a bit rough all the way up the straight, and it's not the first time he's done that up there. So we're pretty confident that everything was going to be right once he got back to Melton.
And once he kicked through and held the lead, did you think that was just about job done, or were there still nervous worries for you during the race?
Oh, no, it's never over until they hit the line, but certainly, he was going to make it certainly harder for anyone else in the race because they're the ones that are going to have to sit outside him or come from behind him and do the work. And like I said, like when he's on song, you know, he can run out some pretty good sectionals, which he did on Sunday. And it sort of really didn't give anyone else a chance. And like for Sunderland's Courage, I thought he was the one that you know was a really good run in the race because stuck to his guns and you know was only 5 metres away at the end.
You mentioned Mick Taranto in the ownership. We've mentioned Bill Hutchison as well. There's some very well-known harness identities going around in this horse. How did the association with the boys come up for you?
Yeah, no, well, it's I haven't sort of trained for any one of those guys until I sort of come down here to Cranbourne, and then that's where it sort of all started. And they started buying each year. They started buying a yearling and all that at the trotting sales, and which was Living the Life started, and then it was Cruising Around, and then there's Breezing Around, and they've got a rising 2-year-old, you know, as well now, and that's how it all started. It's just a great bunch of people. Like I said, they've been in the game a lot longer than what I have, and of course they've put in, you know, enormous amounts of money throughout the years, and it's such a, you know, great reward to be able to, you know, win them a Vic Bred size and the home field and most of all, like the Breeders' Crown.
So what do you do with Cruising Around now?
No, he's straight to the paddock now, Greg. He's going to have at least a good 2 to 3 months off because I'm tipping he's going to have a pretty big 4-year-old season. So there's nothing sort of for him to come back until next year. So you know, I think he's entitled to a very good break.
What sort of races are you going to target him towards as a 4-year-old?
There's... I think Mickey T's got something in mind, but he hadn't sort of told me yet. But yeah, just like the normal 4-year-olds, but like when he comes back, see, he comes back in as a T5, so he'll be more or less in the Metro company straight away, more or less when he comes back. So we just sort of early on just have to pick our race and then don't throw him in the deep end straight away, because it's certainly going to be harder each year he comes up.
And when he first arrived, did you think, oh, I've got a horse that's going to be a Group 1 performer?
Not the first 2 times I put him in the car, because he gave me a bit of grief.
Did he?
But yeah. But no, certainly after that, you just knew he was going to be something special, and you sort of try to keep things to yourself a bit, but when they come down and sort of watch him and all that, you never put a foot wrong. He was just brilliant from the start, apart from the first couple of days, but he was just really good in the cart. And just until he races a 2-year-old, I don't think I ever broke a quarter in 31 with him. Mm. But he was just, the way he did things, it was just so strong and easy and things like that. And of course, when he went to the trials and his first start run, he ran accordingly. And yeah, no, he's been something special for a fair while.
And what about personally? You know, things haven't been easy. What does it mean? What did Sunday's victory mean to you?
Oh, it's just, you know, it sort of took a while to sink in, because you go to those races and, you know, it's the same names all the time with all the, you know, big stables and all the great horse and all that. And you just often think, oh, geez, am I ever going to have something good enough to go there? And I've had 3 that have made the finals, but to be honest with you, they've had no chance whatsoever. And sort of, like I was sort of comparing to Ronarail. I had Ronarail, but he was never in the Breeders.
Yeah.
And this bloke was, and I thought, well, from the start, I thought, well, he's going to be my chance that maybe I can get to the stage where all these other top trainers get to, and, you know, and sort of got to me a little bit once he went past the line, but, you know, that's what you sort of get up and train horses for, to hopefully one day you can get to the stage like they do.
Well, mate, congratulations on the win. It was great to see the horse win for the owners and for yourself and Greg Sugars, who up until that victory had a pretty tough day. So well done to all concerned, and we look forward to seeing cruising around back bigger and better next season.
Yeah, no, thanks very much, Greg.
There is Michael Hughes. He is the trainer of Cruising Around, who took out the 3-year-old trot Colts and Geldings final with a pretty talented Bacardi Lindy son. Final guest of the morning is John Dummersy. He is the Chief Executive of Harness Racing New South Wales. Good morning to you, John.
Great morning, isn't it, Greg?
It is. There's a few things to talk about. Firstly, in relation to New South Wales, I noticed there was a release that there's a no withdrawal policy. You announced a no withdrawal policy for horses from set conditioned racing from the start of next season.
Yes, that's correct, Greg. It's a little bit of back to the future, and it's to protect all concerned. It's protect clubs that they know races will stand up, and owners that they know that when they enter their horse, if there are sufficient nominations, the race will go ahead. We'd fallen into a pattern where trainers could review those nominations, and if they didn't like what they were coming up against, they'd scratch their horses, and that was devastating the size of the field. So the board looked at it in consultation with the industry, of course, and decided in set condition races. So that's a race where you know what the distance is, you know what the class is, you know where it's on at, that once you nominate, you're in there.
So industry's happy with this. Obviously, there's going to be some trainers who aren't going to be, and some connections aren't going to be happy with the decision, but the industry behind this as a whole?
Oh, well, the industry's set up to have associations represent all different sectors. Those associations come together under one group that's in legislation called HIRIC, the Harness Racing Industry Consultation Group, and it's been before them, it's been discussed, and that's the end of decision. So the majority position is what prevails. But for example, we tried, not that we want to make excessive amounts of money out of the fees that are charged or the penalties that are charged. We introduced that, and I'll admit there were three stables that in the 2 months, July and August, have racked up more than $2,000. for those stables each. And somebody has to pay for that. So, you know, the owners, I'm sure they won't be too happy about it. The fact is that was the race they selected for their horse. They put the horse in, and then for their own reasons, they withdrew it. So that's where we sit, and that's where we'll stay.
All right. Now, I also want to ask you about the change to the prize money distributions for claimers. Obviously, claiming racing is something that we've seen increase in New South Wales over the past season, and owners should be aware of the changes to the prize money distribution going forward.
Yes, they certainly should, but I must say this. Claiming races have been attempted on several occasions over the last three or four decades. They do have a very good support at the moment, and we went ahead in the first place, once again in consultation with the industry, to set the prize money level at what is the standard prize money level for all races. Previously, there'd been different levels there, but finally, we have a good number of horses, so we went out to the owners of the horses that are currently very regularly in the claiming races and requested from them what did they wish to have for the level of prize money. They went with a 50% level for the winner, and if that's what they required, that's what we went with, and that's where we go from. The first of September.
All right, I'll get you to bear with me. I just want to read a release that Harness Racing Victoria has put out, and I'll ask you what will happen in regards to New South Wales and one participant. With respect to the actions taken by Victoria Police at the Melton Harness Racing meeting on Sunday involving Harness Racing participants, Victoria Police has advised Harness Racing Victoria its investigation is continuing and that no charges have been issued against the relevant parties. Regardless, and in consideration of the industry, Harness Racing Victoria's integrity department has provided the relevant parties who were yesterday, or on Sunday, arrested and interviewed by the Sporting Integrity Intelligence Unit of Victoria Police until 4 o'clock on the 2nd of September to provide submissions as to why their licences should not be suspended or other action should not be taken under the provisions of the Australian Harness Racing Rules. Harness Racing Victoria Integrity Department takes into consideration that the decision to suspend licences of participants and or take other actions are serious measures, and thus all available material needs to be considered. This includes the information from Victoria Police regarding the continuing status of its investigations and the absence of any criminal charges. With respect to the further progression of the investigation by Victoria Police on the 28th of August 2016, HRV is unable to make any further comment at this time. Obviously, the names are out there. Amanda Turnbull is one of them. She does train out of Menangle. What does that mean for Harness Racing New South Wales? Will Harness Racing New South Wales wait to see what happens with Harness Racing Victoria and where this investigation goes?
Well, certainly the steps that Harness Racing Victoria are taking would not be dissimilar to what Harness Racing New South Wales would take under the circumstances. Now, we have an absolute presumption of innocence across everything. There's no charges laid. There's some serious situations to be answered to by these people, and that's where it is. But for Harness Racing New South Wales, it's similar to what we do. We would have, as it sits now, certain licensees that are covered under a similar situation where we've given them an opportunity to answer to why they shouldn't be stood down. It's procedural fairness to do that. And as I say, it's not dissimilar to what we would do, what they've done in Victoria.
If HRV allowed them to continue, would Harness Racing New South Wales then look upon what their action would be? Obviously, we're talking hypotheticals here, and it's never good to talk in hypotheticals, but will Harness Racing New South Wales have a look at what's happening in Victoria as well and make a decision on licences that are held here in New South Wales?
Well, we're not involved in it at all. We're not briefed on what the situation is in Victoria, so we've got nowhere to stand on the matter. So we will follow, as Harness Racing Victoria would follow, the decisions made in our respective states.
All right. Anything else happening in New South Wales Harness Racing at the moment? The end of the season coming up. Happy with the season that's just gone?
Yes, very happy with the season. As every season passed, we reach milestones and we have some fantastic achievements. But we look forward to the next season, which will be full of success in many many parts, but a lot of challenges as well, as we note day to day with what's occurring around us within the racing industry. So we'll be our first port of call will be delivering to participants, and that will be both with a compliance that we offer the level playing field as best we can. We'll put every effort into making sure that our industry is a good industry to be in, clean, safe, and welcoming to anyone that wants to join it.
Good on you, John. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Greg.
And there is John Dumazy, the Chief Executive of Harness Racing New South Wales. I know we've got a race coming up from Ascot Park. Big meeting at Menangle on Saturday night. The main race there is the West Campbelltown Pace. It's a Group 3 race. Lombo, Kota Kinabalu will back up after racing on Saturday night. Now, there was an issue with the timer for his race on Saturday night. I've come in and yesterday clocked it off the video here at Sky using some equipment we've got, and I got 150.56. Now, I've been taken... I spoke with someone from Harness Racing New South Wales yesterday. They believe that, and I think they're right, I've clocked it too quick. I've gone back this morning and started from where I've been told to start the timing mechanism, and I've got 150.84. So I know they've said on the computer 151.3. That horse broke 151. Because the timing mechanism didn't work, they've done it by hand time. I've done it off the video this morning using time coding, and it's definitely broken 151. It's gone 150.84. He'll go around, but Chili Palmer's in the race, trained by Adam Kelly. Also, I'm Mr. Brightside, Mac Beauty, Excitus in the City, and Monofith. They'll go around in race number 5 on the program. And there's also heats of the MO, which is a final of 30,000 to be conducted on the 10th of September, and a couple of heats of those. So we look forward to a great night of harness racing at Menangle on Saturday night.
Good on you, Greg. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Cozzy. Talk then.
There we go. Greg Hayes on the pace.